Well, good morning, everybody. I love the energy in the room. Thanks so much for coming today. It's great to see you. Hope you enjoyed your 4th of July. We have a very special program for us this morning. You're going to be excited and blessed by it, and I want to encourage you to engage in it as you understand what's happening. But let me give a couple of announcements before we get started this morning. First of all, the all-church campout is coming up in a couple of weeks. You know, we're going to a new spot this year, Georgetown Camp Forward, and there's some cabins that you could rent or some spaces for campers. All the cabins have been reserved, so those are gone, but there's two camper spots left. So if you want to go to the all-church campout, you want to grab a hold of those spots, you need to either do it online or call the office tomorrow. The information is in your bulletins as well. Also, don't forget life groups. How many of you are involved in summer life groups? Raise your hand. All right, wow, turn to your neighbor and go, wow, I'm shocked you're involved in anything this summer. Wow, that's awesome. That's awesome. You know, it's been going really well. Remember, our goal as we walk through our summer series here called Navigating the New Testament, we're encouraging you to read what? 2 books of the New Testament per week. Some are long, some are short. I'm not telling you which ones are long, which ones are short. You can figure that out. And then also to memorize the book order of the New Testament. So that's our summer challenge. Those small groups have been going really well. Really, really well. And also, I want to let you know that Vacation Bible School here was just a couple weeks ago, and it went fantastic. I want to thank Therese and her team and all the volunteers that put that on. We had 188 kids here, and 25 of them received Jesus as Lord, so let's give the hand for that. We handed out 19 Bibles to kids that didn't have Bibles. It was just a great time. In fact, we have a little video recap that we want to show you at this time about Vacation Bible School, which was 2 weeks ago right in here. Let's watch this video recap. So that was our Vacation Bible School. Again, thanks so much for all of you that participated in that and helped with that. And we know it was a great time making Jesus famous with the children in our community. At this time, we're going to have the ushers come forward. We're going to take our morning offering. I also want to let you know about our last mission trip of the summer. We're heading up north across the border into Canada to Surrey to be with our dear friends, the Bryants up there, who are helping to plant a church. And what our team does as we go up there each year is we spend some time. They have reserved a park, and each evening they have about a two-hour get-together in the park for the whole community. Our job is to go up there and to put on booths for students and kids, a face painting booth, a craft booth, or a game booth, so that the adults within the church can hang out and talk with the parents and to reach out to them. And so if you're interested in going out, this is a great trip for the family. I think we might be flying up there on the 27th of July and returning on the 4th of August. And so if you're interested in that, we're trying to finalize that team this week. There's some other people that are interested, and so we want to encourage you to sign up for that or to let us know that you're interested in that so that we can get that team going. All right, let's pray for our morning seed harvest. Lord, we thank you that you give us money for two reasons. One is to provide bread for food, to take care of the needs of our family, to enjoy some of the things of this earth. And Lord, you also give us money to invest in your kingdom, to make you famous locally here in our area, in the foothills, in our nation, and around the world. So Lord, we're grateful today for what you're doing, and we're grateful for what you're going to do in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We want to welcome Madison here this morning. Let's welcome Madison. We have a team of students here from all over the country, and they're here to be with us today. And Madison is from Indiana. Is that right? She's a Hoosier. So she's going to be signing something for our offering time.
I am the Lord your God. I go before you now. I stand beside you, and I'm all around you. Though you feel I'm far away, I'm closer than your breath, and I am more than you know.
The students that are here with us today all have blue shirts on, and you'll notice their shirts say Operation Barnabas. Operation Barnabas is a youth team that is from our Fellowship of Churches. Our church belongs to a fellowship of churches called Charis Fellowship or Grace Fellowship. Charis Fellowship, every summer, through its National Office of Christian Education or Church Equipping, puts together these youth teams called Operation Barnabas. And these students, who are high schools, juniors, and seniors mostly, give up a big chunk of their summer because they are wanting to find out what God has for them in their life. And so they are getting together, they get together, they have a week of orientation, and then they hit the road, and they go and serve our sister churches for a couple of days. And they're prepared to do anything. Barnabas is called the son of encouragement in the Bible, and they just want to encourage churches. So they've been traveling in Northern California, going to all of our churches in our district and spending a couple of days and just serving. They arrived here on Thursday from San Francisco, and on Thursday night, they went to the Auburn Greens, and they blitzed every house in Auburn Greens. They put on some door hangers, the Jesus film, a track, a little introduction to our church, and an invitation to a Saturday festival in the park. They came back from that, also on Thursday night, part of the team was here because we have a homeless ministry that comes to our church once or twice a month called the Gathering Inn, and some of the team stayed, had dinner with the homeless folks that were here, and to help prepare and help get that ministry going. On Friday, they got up early, and they did a bunch of work projects because they're servants, and they did some work projects on our facility out in the parking lot next door to Mr. Miyagi to bless him. Friday night, they did a youth event with our junior hires and senior hires. And then yesterday, all day in the park, they did a kids' festival. Lots of children came, lots of families came from the Auburn Greens, and they had a great chance to minister with them, along with a lot of our folks from our church that were there. And today, they are here with you in our church service. After church, they're having a quick lunch. They're heading down to Ripon and to spend a couple of days in that sunny, beautiful place down there and to minister with them. So it's just a time where students can give up some of their summer and to serve the Lord and to make him famous. You apply in the fall, September, October, November. The team is chosen by December so that the students can then plan for the next summer. The reason why Operation Barnabas is so dear and near to my heart is because when I was 16 years old and our church here was just beginning to start, the first pastor of our church named Dwayne Jones was discipling me. I was a sophomore in high school. And he started to disciple me. During my junior year at Placer, he began to put this thing in my mind, you ought to apply for this thing called Operation Barnabas. I had no idea what it was. I applied. I somehow got on the team. And we went to Pennsylvania and Vermont for the summer. And during that time, all the gentlemen on the team have to preach in a church. And in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, when I was 16 years old, I stood up in front of a church just like this, and my knees were shaking, and I shared some thoughts. But when I was done, I thought, I think this is what the Lord wants me to do for the rest of my life. And I became your pastor. And so Operation Barnabas, yeah, isn't that great? So we know that there's a lot of students that are trying to figure out, what does God have for me in my life? And it's our encouragement to have them here with us today. They do a variety of things, all the way from children's programs in the park, in churches, in downtown, in food shelters, to young adult groups, to church services. They do a wide variety. Their orientation covers a wide spectrum, and we're going to see that here this morning. And so I really want you to welcome them. So as they come, we want to welcome them. But first, let's stand up, tell each other good morning, and greet one another as Operation Barnabas comes to stage.
Well, good morning. We are excited to be here. Very excited to be here. especially for me. This is my first time ever in California, and I will say that you guys have done well to make me want to come back. So very, very nice. My name is Sean Mason, and I am the administrative senior leader for this team that's here. There are two teams. One team is in Southern California, and we had the privilege to come up to Northern California. And I just want to say, on behalf of our team, thank you, because you guys have been so hospitable and serving alongside of us, and to the host homes that hosted us last night, thank you. And we're grateful to have been able to be a part, to partner with you, and, just help you in any way that we can. Part of Operation Barnabas, as Phil was saying, is that we want to train young people for ministry. And if you talk to any of these students in the blue shirts, some of them will tell you they feel the call into ministry or they're not sure where they're called into ministry. And so regardless, we take them, we remove them from home, and then we train them to share Jesus with people. That's the goal of what we do. And so this morning, you're going to see a wide variety of things. The first portion of the program this morning is what we will do for children's programs. And everything we do is a means to an end. We are by no means a performance group, although it can look like that, we're not. So that's a warning for you. We expect full participation this morning. If we're dancing, we want you to dance with us, or else it just gets weird and awkward. And, you know, we're in church celebrating Jesus because yesterday, because of this means, two of our students were able to pray with the student to come to know Jesus, which is awesome. So this morning, our prayer is that you will be open, you will hear what God wants to say to you, and also have some fun this morning. I mean, I don't know if you're ever going to have a church service again where you have puppets. We're Operation Barnabas, and where we get our name is from Barnabas in the Bible. And there's a portion of Scripture in Acts that talks about this Barnabas, and it goes something like this. When Barnabas arrived,
of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Acts 11, 23 and 24.
Would you stand and worship with us this morning?
Hello, hello. Good morning, you guys. Okay, so we have some friends that we brought with us on tour, and we just did our first service, and they were so tired. So they tried to sneak in a little power nap, but they're still asleep. So I need you guys to help me wake them up. So on three, we're going to yell, "Wake up, puppets," okay? One, two, three.
Wake up, puppets!
Okay, we might have to be louder. They probably just didn't hear us. So let's do it again. One, two, three.
Wake up, puppets!
Okay, last time. We can do this. One, two, three.
Wake up, puppets!
Sue, oh Lord, you keep my lamp burning. You have turned my darkness to light. Set my feet high on this mountain and put my enemies to flight. So
help us now. No one can keep us down. We found our voice again. Oh, 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 oh. No need for fear and shame. There's power in His name. Come on, let freedom reign. Let it be known that our God saves, our God reigns. We lift you up, up. Let it be known that love has come, love has won. We lift you up, 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 up. Whoa. Whoa. We lift your name up, higher and higher. We lift your name up. We shout your name.
Hi guys, I'm Anna, and I'm from Johnstown, Pennsylvania. I'm going to tell all you kids a story, everybody, all the kids that are in here. I'm going to talk about a board game. Do you all know what a board game is? I play lots of board games with my family because I have 9 siblings, so there's a lot to play with. But I'm going to talk about the game Monopoly. This is what Monopoly looks like. It's not this small, so, but we, yeah. This is Monopoly. I'm going to talk about my favorite square, which is the chance square. The square that has a question mark, and when you land on that, you have to draw a card and do whatever it says. Some of them are good, and some of them are bad. Like this card right here, if I can pick it up, is go directly to jail. Me, with probably everybody else, when you draw a card, you want it to be good. You don't ever want a bad one. But that's not how the game works. You can't just take all the good ones out and only hope for good ones, which is kind of like our lives. We don't want anything bad to happen to us, and we want no risks and nothing, no chance of anything bad happening. We want everything to be good. But that's not how life works either, which is kind of, we can't take a chance in our eternity, though. That's one thing that we can have control in, unlike the cards. Like, you can pick whether you go to heaven. Where we end up eternally is not by chance, because that's what we choose to do. So Jesus is the Savior of all who trust in Him, and when you accept Him into your life, death isn't scary anymore, because you'll be with Jesus for the rest of your lives. Sooner or later, every one of us have to choose, and I hope that all of you choose the chance of a lifetime, because there's no risk in Jesus. And we know there's no risk in Jesus because the Bible says in 1 John 5:12, he who has the Son has life, and whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. So this Bible verse means Jesus is practically our get-out-of-jail-free card, because he died on the cross to save us from our sins even when we didn't deserve it. So we can go to heaven with him and spend eternal life there. So I'm going to pray for all you guys. Dear God, thank you for today, and thank you for this amazing church and all that they've done for us. And I pray that everyone here will choose you so that they can spend eternal life with you, and that they won't take a chance with their eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.
Israelite people were sick and tired of being servants to the Egyptians, and they wanted to go back to their own country. When God chose Moses to lead Israel out of Egypt, Moses was very confused. He felt like an inadequate leader, so he decided to work on his skills. First, he tried rubbing his stomach and patting his head at the same time. Then he tried doing that while standing on one leg. Finally, he tried doing it with his eyes closed while hopping on one leg. He couldn't do it and fell miserably to the ground. Moses felt like a failure and walked in small circles with his hands in the air, looking to the sky and shouting, "Why me, Lord?" He continued to do this until he tripped and fell over a staff of wood on the ground. Moses jumped up and kicked the wooden staff. The staff jumped up and said,
"Hey, it's not my fault you tripped over me."
Moses was surprised by the talking piece of wood. Not ready to argue with the bossy little fellow, he picked up the staff, threw it over his shoulder, and said to the Israelites, "Let's
go. Come
on,
we're out of here."
When the Israelites left Egypt, Pharaoh came running onto the scene, searching for Moses and the escaped Israelites. Pharaoh squinted his eyes as he looked from the east to the west. While he continued to search for Moses and company, his soldiers arrived riding shiny new chariots. Upon their arrival, Pharaoh beat his chest and let out an earth-shattering war cry. He began shouting out orders to his men.
March 2, 3, 4, March 2, 3, 4, April 2, 3, 4.
His army marched toward the fleeing Israelites. The Israelites looked back and saw Pharaoh's army rapidly approaching them. They shook with fear and gnashed their teeth. Pharaoh's army shouted nasty things about the Israelites' sense of fashion and personal hygiene.
"You look like my big toe."
"Smell like hot dog water."
"Do you even moisturize?"
The ugliest Israelite began to panic and scream at Moses.
"Aren't there enough graves in Egypt?"
Moses looked puzzled by the question since he had never counted the graves in Egypt. The next ugliest Israelite shouted,
"We would rather be slaves to the Egyptians than die today."
Out of frustration, Moses hit his staff on the ground repeatedly. Attempting to bring order to the chaos, he slapped his staff repeatedly. Once he had the Israelites' full attention and the staffs, he said to everyone,
"Do not be afraid. The Lord will come to our rescue."
He was so confident of this message that he repeated it again, this time in Pig Latin.
"Uthe ilwe umwe arwe isquewe."
Moses then did as the Lord instructed. He walked out to the water's edge and raised his staff above his head. The mighty waters quickly divided into two sides. The Israelites walked through the parted waters on dry land. Meanwhile, Pharaoh's soldiers and chariots, still yelling their war cries, chased the escaped Israelites into the parted sea. But in the middle of the sea, their new chariots broke down, and all the soldiers fell to the ground. The mighty soldiers lay on the sea's floor and cried like little babies. Some even sucked their thumbs. Moses and all of Israel made it through the dry land of the divided sea. When they had reached the other side, Moses raised his staff above his head, and the parted water filled the sea again, covering the crying men of Pharaoh's army. The water karate chopped, body slammed, belly flopped, and kicked the army until they were still and silent on the ground. Meanwhile, the Israelites were laughing and rejoicing at the victory of their retreat from Egypt.
Is for me, who could ever be against me? And if God is for me, I don't need to fear the enemy. There is victory in Jesus, there is victory in Him. He gave me grace, I gave Him my sin. He died on the cross and then He rose again. There is victory in Jesus, there is victory in Him. V-I-C-T-O-R-Y, this will be our battle cry. The tomb is empty, He's alive. V-I-C-T-O-R-Y, V-I-C-T-O-R-Y, the enemy better run and hide. The King of Kings is on our side. V-I-C-T-O-R-Y.
Covicetty.
Accuser comes at me as quick as he can, but no weapon formed against me will stand. I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, protected forever by the great I Am. There is victory in Jesus, there is victory in Him. He gave me grace, I gave Him my sin. He died on the cross and then He rose again. There is victory in Jesus, there is victory in Him.
V-I-C-T-O-R-Y, this will be our battle cry. The tomb is empty, He's alive. V-I-C-T-O-R-Y, V-I-C-T-O-R-Y, the enemy better run and hide. The King of Kings is on our side. V-I-C-T-O-R-Y, let's go. Thank you.
Like I said, you probably haven't had a church service like that. I don't know if ever. I don't know. I know that it's always rare for us, but as you can see, we have a lot of energetic, fun things to get kids involved, because if we make Jesus look boring, then no one would want to follow him. So it's a means to an end, and it's because of things like this that kids like that we met yesterday in the park come to know him, and it's a way for us to present the gospel. You can even hear it in the songs that we communicate, the truth that is in the gospel. We really believe on Operation Barnabas that the message never changes. The message has always been the same. From when Phil went on OB to when I went on Operation Barnabas to this year, the message has always been the same. The way we present that message has changed, though. And so, as you see, we've adapted to culture, and that's why even if you talk to some past OB alumni, you'll even see that the amount of time that they're on Operation Barnabas has even shortened. But needless to say, we still see students grow, and we still see God work in students. Another way that we see God work in students is we give them opportunities to give a sermon, a little sermonette, as Phil mentioned earlier. And we do this because not only do we want them just learning puppets and skits and dances, but we want them to learn how to study God's word and then to be able to communicate God's word. If all we do is just have them study God's word, then they're never going to learn to speak God's word. And even though we know that not everyone who comes on Operation Barnabas is going to go into full-time vocational ministry, we do tell them that no matter where you go in life, it's going to be ministry. There are people who need Jesus, and we need to learn to communicate the gospel. And so that's the opportunity that we're giving our guys. And one of those guys is Alex Nickel from Ohio. So I'm going to let him share what God has laid on his heart, but will you pray with me as I pray for Alex, and then we'll turn it over to him. God, thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to be in Auburn today, Lord. Thank you for their partnership. Thank you for their love for you. God, I just pray that right now as Alex comes to share what you've laid on his heart, God, that you will give us open hearts and open minds to hear what you have to say through him. God, we love you, and we pray your blessing on the rest of the service. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Hello. Hello. Hi. My name is Alex. I'm from Columbus, Ohio, and today I'm going to be sharing a little bit about you, something that's been in my heart. First, I want to start off with a question for everyone in here. Is God in you? Think about that for a sec. Is God in you? Think about what that means. I'm going to start off today with a little bit of a story about me. In about eighth grade, I had been going to a private Christian school from second grade all the way up through eighth grade. And after that, my parents decided that it was too expensive for me. So they said, you know what, we're going to switch you to public school. So I transferred to a school from 300-ish kids to about 2,200. So that was quite a big change. And in order to try to fit in, you know, me being naive and 14, I'm like, you know what, I'm going to try to get a girlfriend. Yeah, so I tried. I had not really a great history of talking to girls because I'm, you know, awkward. But I tried to talk to this one, and I asked her to homecoming eventually, and she said no. So, yeah, that wasn't great. Thanks for laughing at me, by the way. I appreciate that. So, you know. Me, I was just like, eh, whatever. I didn't want to go, but, like, I wanted to go. I said I didn't want to go, but I really wanted to go. Anyways, so I was kind of iffy about the whole situation. It was on a Friday night, so coming to school on Monday morning, and everyone just starts making fun of me. They're like, hi, you're the kid who got rejected to homecoming. Oh, you can't get a girlfriend. Oh, stuff like that. I'm like, oh, thanks, great, yeah, it's awesome. I would literally couldn't forget it. People are bringing it up like every class period that I would go into. They would just remind me of it. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. Thanks. But so after that, since I already didn't have a great past with just trying to make friends, I became really depressed and closed off. I didn't know what to do. I was not involved in church very much. I was just living for myself. I became very depressed. I had suicidal thoughts and tendencies for about 6 months. It was really hard to get over, and God was not involved in any of it. I just became lost in the internet. I didn't have anywhere else to go. I'm just like, you know what, it's not really worth for me to live anymore. And I eventually began to start to end my own life, but I stopped, and I don't know why. I can't tell you why I stopped. I don't know what happened. I just felt to me, no, I shouldn't do this. And after that school year was over, it got a little bit better, but stuff still wasn't great, and I ended up going to Momentum Youth Conference, which is coming up in about a week or so. This was my second year there, and I heard so many different speakers. I was so encouraged in the word. I just dove all the way in for Christ, and I just became super involved in my church, and eventually I committed my life to full-time vocational ministry, and that is my goal now, and that's what I want to do after I'm done with college. So. The main point of that story is to tell you that I was without God. I did not have God involved in my life. I was living for myself. I was living for things of this world, which I shouldn't have been. I should have been completely devoted to God all the time. But let me tell you another little story about a man named Saul. Saul was a murderer of Christians. He was not involved with God. He's just like, you know what? I'm going to live for myself. This feels right. I'm going to do this. And in Acts 9, it says, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. Now, Saul clearly was not involved with God at all. He was living for himself. He was living for things of this world, which is not the way God intended it for us to be. But later, in verse 3, it says, as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Saul eventually became Paul, became one of the most devoted Christians in the entire Bible. He went out and preached God's word to everybody. He was like, he just went into cities, stood up on tables, stood up on mountains. He's like, this is the word of God. I am all in for God, and this is God speaking through me. Now, another story of a man named Job. As you all, most of you probably know the backstory to Job. He was one of the most devoted Christians in the Bible, and Satan said, you know what, God? I bet I can make this man turn against you. And God said, go for it. So Satan takes away his family, takes away his property, takes away everything from him. But even when Job is at the lowest of lows, it says here, at this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship and said, naked I come from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. That's very important. Job was all in for God. He was like, you know what? I know there are things that are bad in this world because of sin in the world, but that's not going to faze me. I'm going to stay 100% committed to God all the time, every single day. Now, how can we live with God in us? How would that look in our communities if every single person in here was 100% committed to God all the time? If everyone in the neighborhood surrounding were 100% committed to God all the time, how would that look? It would be wonderful. It would be magnificent. It would be just a perfect world. But unfortunately, that's not how it is because of sin in the world. So, can I ask another question? Can you remember a time when you did not have God involved in your life? I know I can. I know many of you probably do. And unfortunately, those things may happen, but we must stay committed to God. We must stay in the Word. We must stay with God all the time. Now, if you are not involved with God currently, would you like to invite him in? Would you like to invite Christ into your life? I know we've only been here a few days, but this church is so loving and so caring for everyone here that I just know that if any of you are not involved with Christ and you would like to invite him into your life, anyone here would be willing to pray with you. I thank you, and I would like to close in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for this wonderful day that you have blessed us with. I thank you for this wonderful church. I thank you that you've just given me the words to speak today. I pray that anyone who's been affected by what I've said today would just be willing to go out and talk about it with a pastor or a friend or a mom or just any of us in OB shirts. I pray that you will just continue to bless this day and then just help give us strength to continue throughout our day. And in your name, amen.
The unmerited favor of God. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense.
It is receiving what we do not deserve.
God's grace saves us
and sustains us.
Grace is the silver thread that stitches up the shreds of mingled souls.
Grace is the eye that finds us where it refuses there to leave us.
Grace calls the waitress to the table and sits her down to wash her feet.
Grace is the courage to stand in the shamed wake of a frightful falling.
Grace is the only fire hot enough to burn down a living hell.
Grace is the gravity that pulls us from depravity.
Grace races us to the throne when we make haste to repent and always outruns us.
On a life that screams,
ruined!
Grace is the stamp that says, ransomed!
Grace sets a table before me in the presence of my enemy, even when my enemy is me.
Grace is the power to do what we cannot do, for the name of Christ, to go where it has not been.
Grace is a room of 1,000 mirrors, all reflecting the face of Christ.
My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.
Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us,
and we have seen his glory,
glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth.
For the law was given through Moses.
Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ.
Grace is
the eye-popping, knee-dropping,
earth-quaking, pride-breaking,
dark-stabbing, heart-grabbing,
friend-mending, mind-bending,
lame-walking, mute-talking,
slave-freeing, devil-fleeing,
death-tolling, stone-rolling,
veil-tearing, glory-flaring,
chin-lifting, sin-sifting,
dirt-bleaching, world-reaching,
past-covering, spirit-hovering,
heaven-glancing, feet-dancing,
power of the cross,
Jesus Christ, grace incarnate.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I am so, so, so thankful for that gift of grace. Would you stand with us and worship as we sing Who You Say I Am?
Good life and the light.
no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death.
The mind of the sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace.
The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God.
Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness.
Now if we are children, then we are heirs.
Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ.
If we share in his sufferings, we also share in his glory.
I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us.
For in this hope we were saved.
And hope that is seen is no hope at all.
Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently.
And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers.
And those he predestined, he also called.
Those he called, he also justified.
Those he justified, he also glorified.
What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us?
He who does not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how can we not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?
Who will bring charge against those whom God has chosen?
It is God who justifies.
Who is he that condemns?
Christ Jesus, who died.
More than that, who is raised alive?
Is at the right hand of God and is interceding for us.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?
Shall trouble?
Or hardship?
Or persecution?
Or famine?
Or nakedness?
Or danger?
Or sword?
No! In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us.
For I am convinced.
Will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
That's probably one of my most favorite things on Operation Barnabas is the way to communicate scripture. That was all from Romans 8, and we call it speech choir, and it's one of the most fun things to learn, and just a different avenue to communicate the same message, and another way that we communicate that message is through a pantomime, which you're going to see. We're going to tell a story that just puts it to music, and so we hope that you watch this with open hearts and open minds.
Truth is harder than a lie. Dark seems safer than the light, and everyone has a heart that loves to hide. I'm a mess and so are you. We've built walls nobody can get through. Yeah, it may be hard, but the best thing we could ever do, ever do. Bring your brokenness and I'll bring mine. 'Cause love can heal what hurt divides. And mercy's waiting on the other side. If we're honest, if we're honest, don't pretend to be something that you're not. Living life afraid of getting caught. There is freedom found when we lay our secrets down at the cross, at the cross. So bring your brokenness and I'll bring mine. 'Cause love can heal what hurt divides. And mercy's waiting on the other side. Thank you.
So my question for you is kind of the same question that Alex asked you earlier, but just worded a little bit differently. Did you see yourself up here? Because I did, in many of the different scenarios. And specifically, you may not have seen, we may not have written your exact struggle on a piece of cardboard. Well, we may not. Because let's be honest, there are a ton of struggles out there. But here's the thing. The one thing that isn't different is the fact that we all need to lay those struggles at the foot of the cross. It's something that needs to happen. And it's not easy. We're not saying it's easy. What we are saying is it needs to happen. And some of you sitting here this morning, you're struggling. You may be one that is struggling with depression. You may be an abusive relationship. You may be the abuser in the relationship. You may be the cheater or the person who's sneaking, looking at pornography, or the addict, or the one who is getting drunk every night to escape some other kind of pain, whatever it may be. That may be you this morning. And regardless of how much you've tried to hide it, no matter how much you've tried to pretend like everything's okay, because I was there. I didn't want anybody to know that I was struggling. To be honest with you, I struggled with pornography for 12 years of my life and tried to push it behind me. But the amazing thing is that when you lay it at the foot of the cross, you find freedom and you find hope that only rests in Jesus and not in our sin, not in our struggles. And so we're going to sing one more song, and we want you to sing with us. And this song is entitled, I Give You Me. And this song, as you will find out, communicates that we are giving everything to follow Jesus. Jesus is the only way, and we need to give him all that we are. And so will you stand and worship with us?
Thank you. view of God's mercy, I urge you to offer your bodies as a pleasing sacrifice to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Romans 12, 1 and 2.
So you have a decision to make. What are you going to give to the Lord? Some of you here this morning, you've just been blessed, and we're great to worship alongside of you, and I understand that, and that's perfectly okay. But for those of you that know you need to make a decision, can I encourage you? Right now, our students in the OB shirts are getting a response card, and we want to meet with you, and we want to pray with you, because following Jesus isn't something that's meant to be done alone. Because we could tell you from personal experiences that when you give your life to Jesus, when you give your struggles to Jesus, the enemy starts swinging hard. And you need a family. You need a union of people. And I could tell you, I've only been here 3 days, but I know you have a church. I know you have a staff that will walk alongside of you. And so we want you to take one of these response cards, and we want you to fill it out. And we aren't going to keep them because we're going to leave. Sorry, we're leaving. But your church is still going to be here. Phil's still going to be here. The staff here is still going to be here. And they want to walk alongside of you. And we're going to pass that along to Phil so that the church can walk alongside of you. And maybe, again, you don't have a decision to make for Christ, which is fine. And maybe you've been touched, though, and you want to support Operation Barnabas monthly or yearly. There's a way to do that on these response cards as well. But also we want you to connect with our students because we want to just pray with you in general because you guys have been so hospitable and so great. So I encourage you that after the service here that you find one of us, you talk with us, you pray with us, you hear our stories. And if you need to, fill out one of those response cards and hand it back to us, and we'll make sure that it gets into the right hands. Phil?
Wasn't it great having him here with us today? Is it great? You know, this is, I'm so proud of our fellowship to do stuff like this, put these kind of youth teams on. Again, the applications for next year are going to be online probably in September, October. And if you're a student here that would like to participate in this next summer or the summer after, you're a parent, you're a grandparent, you have a student that is just trying to find a way to get grounded in the Lord and their personal walk with God and learn that servant's heart, Operation Barnabas is a great way to do that. We're going to make sure that the link to Operation Barnabas applications are on our website in just a couple of months, and they go out so that you can be aware of what's going on. And so let me encourage you today, meet them in the courtyard, say hello to them, thank them for coming. They haven't asked us for anything except from some travel money, so there's a little box out there in the foyer if you want to throw some money in to help them. They got about a week left on the road, and do me a favor, give them a dollar for laundry, okay? Give them a dollar for laundry so that they can have some laundry time together. So, hey, if you hosted these students, thank you so much for hosting them. If you've been part of the ministries this weekend, thank you. Reach out and grab your neighbor's hand. Let's close our service with a word of prayer. God, what a great reminder today that you want all of us. And Lord, whether we're new at this or been walking with you for a while, whether we're a student, a teenager, an adult, a grandparent, Lord, you still have work for us to do, and you still want all of us. Thank you for these students that are here to remind us of the grace that we have found in you. Thank you for the fun that we could have in singing praises about victory and about your presence with us. Thank you that we can lay everything down at the cross, and you really do help us carry the burdens of life. And thank you for the assurance of eternity that we have through you. So, Lord, what a great life it is to be with you. And if there's anyone here today that isn't having that life, may they come to know you today or come back to you today or come closer to you today, whatever your will is. Thank you for these students. Thank you for our families. Thank you for our church and our community. May you bless us as we go. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Thanks for coming. Have a great day.